In your mind, two sentences, one that was just read from Haggai 2:19, is the seed yet in the barn? And the second from Luke 8, verse 11, that simply states that the seed is the Word of God. Keep those two statements in mind, or those two sentences in mind, as we study for a few minutes this morning. The story goes that a farmer living near the Mississippi River planned to grow a certain crop in a very fertile, flat river bottom. He turned the soil, he used a disc and prepared it for planting, he smoothed it out and got it ready. He took his planter, and in that planter he put the best of fertilizer that was available. Went through that entire field and made some of the straightest rows that anyone could ever make. Prayed for rain, got a good rain within a day or so after he had performed this task. And then he began to watch for the plants to come up. And there were no plants. He went back again the next day and the next day and the next day, and still no plants came up. Though he had prepared the land in the best possible way, it was a fertile piece of land. He had put out some of the best fertilizer that money could buy. He had received a good rain, and yet no plants. He began to wonder, he began to scratch his head, and as he was doing that, he wandered back to his barn and opened the crib door, and there sat the sack of seed that he had intended to plant. He had forgotten to put the seed in the planter. And with all the other circumstances present, which certainly would aid to the growing of a good crop, the seed was still in the barn, and there was no crop. I believe we need to emphasize that idea in our thinking today as we think about the work of the church. I know we are on target because the second sentence I encourage you to remember is the little one, that the seed is the Word of God. There is the story of the sower here in Luke 8 and also back in Matthew's account in Matthew 13. Many of you know more details about the story of the different kinds of soil that were there, the different types of results that were obtained, and the lessons that are taught there in that parable and in that story that Jesus told about the sower. But I want us to emphasize this morning the importance of the seed. It is important to prepare the soil. It is important for the farmer to get the right amount of rain and sunshine. Certainly, the fertilizer that is available may aid to the growth of a crop, but if the seed's not there, no matter what else is done or what combination of other factors are present, there's not going to be a crop. We do a lot of planning in the work of the church. I sincerely believe that this congregation does the right thing in planning our work. I am very appreciative of the leadership that we have among our elders and the service that is given by many others in many different ways. But folks, we will have a crop failure if we do not continue at all times in every way to place emphasis upon the seed. We can have everything else in place and still be a failure from God's standpoint if the seed is yet in the barn. As I thought about this, I thought about some of the specific areas of work in which we are involved and some of the plans that are there relative to our future work, if God gives us a future. We talk a lot about the buildings. And I think I have never been involved with a congregation where the buildings were used any more than they are here. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes we have some problems. Occasionally a door is left open. And there are times that there has to be some cleaning up that should not have to be done by those of us who come in later. But even with all the problems that are associated with people, and most people bring with them some problems of one sort or another in every area of thought, with all of those things that exist, we can be thankful, I believe, for the almost constant use of our buildings. A lot is being said about our buildings. You are aware from announcements that have been made that there is a committee that is studying the long-range plans for us and what we may need 5 years from now and 10 years from now. There is a more immediate study, or at least a study of more immediate needs, particularly relative to this auditorium. There are some needs that we have. This is the hardest pulpit where I've ever stood to be able to read. The lighting needs to be addressed. Perhaps the PA system, the appearance of the auditorium, there are things that concern us. And I am appreciative that there are those who are looking into this, and I hope as soon as possible that we will be able to meet some of these needs at the same time that we're looking ahead to what we may need 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. But folks, if we had $10 million this morning and we could go somewhere and build a $10 million plant and have everything in that building that we might possibly want or need, if we're not doing that to be able to preach and teach the Word of God, it's not important. There's not anything said in the New Testament about a church building. I get amused when some of these self-appointed authorities can tell us exactly what we ought to build and what we ought not to build and how we ought to use it and how we ought not to use it, because I haven't been able to find a word in the entire New Testament about a church building. I believe there are several principles involved, and the subject of expediency dictates that we have some type of place where we can meet to worship, where we can meet to teach in Bible classes, do benevolent work, enjoy fellowship, and many other things that are associated with that. I believe that there is every reason indicated in the Bible for us to have a building like we have, to have buildings like we have. And I believe that there is an expedient reason there for every building that we have and everything that we are doing. However, having said that, if we ever get away from the very first goal that our buildings are to help us sow the seed of the Word of God, we will be a failure. Sometimes when buildings are built, it seems that people are more interested in how many stained glass windows there can be. As there was a song a few years ago, we've got to get Christ down off of that stained glass window and into our hearts if we're going to be successful. Sometimes when a building is being built, there is an interest in how high the steeple ought to be. And yet we need to be reminded that Christ is not on the steeple, he's down among the people. And need to be sure that we keep the seed, the Word of God, first and foremost in our life. I believe there's a principle back in 1 Samuel 15 that addresses this, and they were not talking about a church building or a building of any kind, but the principle is there. Where Saul had been told to go down and utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he came back and said, "I've done what you told me to do, God." God, through Samuel, said, "Then what about the sheep and the oxen that I hear?" "Oh," he said, "we decided," and especially emphasized the people, "decided to bring back the very best and offer up a great sacrifice to God." The words of Samuel in verse 22 say, Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Folks, I hope to see the day, I hope to live long enough to see the day that we're able to do a lot of things, physically speaking, on this corner or wherever we do it, to have a place that we can do even more in the Lord's service. But let us be sure that we don't leave the seed in the barn. Because we can build buildings, we can furnish them. If we do not get the Word of God to the people, people are going to be lost. We talk a lot about our budget. I appreciate the budget plan. And yet, if there is anything in that budget that is not indirectly related to promoting the Word of God, it has no business being there. Even benevolent work, in a sense, is to help us to reach out to serve people and to open up avenues to talk to them about their souls. Sometimes we have to take care of the body before we can take care of the soul. And I really believe that everything we do, financially speaking, ought to be toward the number one goal of getting the seed, the Word of God, to as many people as we possibly can. I appreciate the support that is given to our budget plans and in a financial way. I think the congregation is to be commended. I appreciate the way you respond when there is a specific need. But folks, we could meet our budget every Sunday and go over it every Lord's Day and still have people out in this community and around the world that are lost if we do not get the seed, the Word of God, out to them. Paul had a lot to say about giving. He talked about churches supporting him in preaching, 2 Corinthians 11:8. He talked about churches supporting him as he was taking money to help the needy, Romans 15:25-27. And in both of these cases, one of the churches that he probably had in mind was the church at Philippi. He at least mentions Macedonia and Achaia in one of these particular places, and Philippi would have been included. When one reads the little book of to the Philippians, the four chapters there, he hears Paul again and again talking about the joy that he had because they were in fellowship with him. And the fellowship that he's talking about, especially in chapter 1, verse 5, is not getting together in association. It's talking about financial fellowship. And he said, I thank you for the fellowship that you had with me in the gospel. The fellowship that you had with me in the gospel. That's the seed, the Word of God. That's what Paul was interested in getting out to the people. We talk sometimes about attendance. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that I believe you need to be in Bible class and worship every time you reasonably possibly can, as I've said time and time again. But folks, if we're just talking about attendance, we're talking about a symptom. Unless we understand that we are attending for a purpose. Of course, to worship God, but to worship Him according to the Word and to be able to teach and learn and understand that Word, which is the seed. That's why it's important for every Bible class teacher to put the seed, the Word of God, out in that class, even to our little ones. That's why it's important to teach our teenagers and our preteens what the Word of God says and get that seed out there planted in that fertile soil of their hearts. And it won't make any difference who stands in this pulpit to preach or how many times there is a sermon presented from this stage unless the seed, the Word of God, is the central part of everything that is done. We'll have a crop failure. We've got to emphasize the seed and teaching the seed the Word of God. This is true as far as worship is concerned. Our worship is important. Our worship, number one, needs to please God, and number two, it needs to lift us up. I would hope that every service that we have can contribute to those two goals. And yet it seems in some instances today there are those who are more interested in having some kind of a service where we leave feeling good than when we leave doing what God has told us to do and understanding what His Word teaches. I don't believe there has to be a conflict. I believe we can worship according to the Word and teach the Word and still feel good. I believe we can take the Word and encourage people. I find particularly in funeral services that there is nothing I can say that will do the same thing that the Word of God being read will do for those who are mourning, those who are grieving. But folks, when we've talked about everything that we can do to make our worship services more meaningful, and it's not wrong to talk about that, it's not wrong for us to constantly look at ourselves, analyze what we're doing, and look for ways to improve. But if we do all of those things, and we leave the seed, the Word of God, in the barn, we're not going to have the right kind of crop. I wish I knew how many times I've had people, particularly in areas where I conduct gospel meetings, say something like this to me in the last 5 or 10 years. We're just not hearing God's Word in our pulpit. The Scripture is just not being taught. And if we do not teach God's Word and get God's Word into our lessons in the pulpit and in our classes, we're leaving the seed in the barn. And we'll never have the crop that we need to have. We talk a lot about programs. We have programs here from time to time to emphasize the family. And oh, how we need to emphasize the family. But when all the advice is given and all the encouragement is there to help us have better families, if it's not based on God's Word, we still are not successful. I have a friend who is a marriage counselor, a friend that I respect highly, lives several miles from here. And he has the policy that when anybody comes into his office for him to work with them, dealing with marriage problems, that he opens his Bible and lays it on his desk. One of the first questions he asks those folks is, are you willing to let this be our guide in everything that we say and do? And he said, if they're not willing to do that, I don't even try to go any further. We've got to get God's Word back into our families, into our minds. We've got to get biblical principles into the life of a husband and father and a wife and mother and children. In these different relationships, if we do not have God's Word there, certainly we're not going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Our mission work. Thanks be to God for the mission work that we do in this congregation. It won't make any difference how many men and women we send to how many places. If they don't take the seed, the crop will not be there. It won't make any difference how many methods we use to prepare the soil and to fertilize and to encourage. If we do not have the seed there, the crop's not going to come up. We've got to get the seed, the Word of God, out to the people. And I want to emphasize this morning more than anything else the importance of this in our own local work. If there is an area where we really need to stop and think and do something about it, it's the area of local evangelism. Oh, I know we have a radio program. Strong possibility that within a few weeks we'll even be able to be on Channel 40 television. Ray Eaton is talking to us and looking at some possibilities about that. I know that usually 4 times on a given Sunday there is a sermon preached from this pulpit and classes going on, and I know we probably have more services than just about anybody. I told someone the other day, this is the only place I've ever lived. You can put in a 40-hour work week on Sunday. We got a lot going on. There's a lot of teaching. But the thing that I wonder is, are we getting the message out into the community to the people around us? How many of us are doing anything personally? We talk about personal evangelism. Wish we could understand those two words. Evangelism is really what we're talking about in the lesson this morning, and personal is getting each one of us involved in. And I'm saying to you this morning that it won't make any difference what we do in our work, how many good things we have, and we have so many good things, may God help us to be thankful. But no matter how many of these we have, if we don't get all of us stirred up a little bit more to get out there and evangelize, and that's another way of saying taking the seed and getting it out there to the soil. There are different kinds of soils all around us. Some of them are like the rocky ground. Some of them will not accept it. I know that. But folks, there's some fertile soil out there. And it may be just up the street a house or two, or over on the street where you live. And it may be that those folks will never set a foot in this building. They'll never be involved in any program that we have here. But just maybe they would sit down and read the Bible with you, or maybe you could encourage them to take their Bibles and sit down and read the Bible for themselves. Maybe there's somebody that you can encourage in that way that nobody else can encourage. That's evangelism. And unless we emphasize that, we will never be what God wants us to be in our local work. The seed is the word of God. Paul said to the young man Timothy, preach that word. Jesus in the Great Commission said, go. Go and preach that word. That's the commandment. That's the challenge that is before us. And there in Luke, the 8th chapter, where in verse 11 we saw the statement that the seed is the word of God. Look at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed. The root statement in that verse is, a sower went out to sow his seed and he sowed. Now that's evangelism. A sower went out to sow the seed. And he sowed. And that's what the Lord's work is about. And if we forget that and fail to emphasize that, it won't make any difference what else we do. We're going to come up short. You cannot leave the seed in the barn and get a crop. Neither can you leave the seed in the book and save souls. Is the seed still in the barn? A sower went out to sow his seed. That's what it's about. You and I have the challenge before us to get out there and sow that seed in every field that we can. And when we sow and water, God will give the increase. We've just got to get the seed out of the barn. For those of us who are here this morning, the seed is out of the barn. We've heard. Seed has been planted. Some of us maybe have not responded to it and need to this morning. Some need to let the good soil of the heart receive that seed. Let that seed germinate and come up and be ready to produce a Christian through the expression of faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins. You need to react to the seed, the word of God. And if you need to do that publicly today, come as together we stand and sing.